Welcome to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community. I'm Isabel, your host and founder and firebrand of The Uprising Spark, a digital platform that offers life coaching products and services for modern, independent, child-free women. Our aim is to build a strong female community and to connect empowered women around the globe.
Hello, Firecrackers, and welcome to a new episode of The Honest Uproar. Our guest today is Taylor. Hi, Taylor. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So, Taylor, tell us and our listeners a little bit about yourself, please.
My name's Taylor, and I am a U.S. Army officer public health veterinarian. I'm 39 years old and married, have a wonderful husband, and right now we live in Fort Benning, Georgia.
Awesome. So you are a veterinarian for the Army.
Yes.
So what do you do?
So not many people even know that the Army has veterinarians. We do kind of the glamorous side of what we do is working dogs. So we take care of all the military working dogs, medical care, and we also take care of service members' pets. So we have veterinary clinics on military bases that take care of, you know, service members, little dogs and cats. The other big part that we do that nobody really knows about is food inspection and public health safety. So we do inspections of like the commissaries, which are basically the supermarkets on base. We inspect all the facilities on base that provide food. So anybody who is cooking, anything really. So if there's a McDonald's on post, then we have to go inspect them. And then we also inspect facilities who want to sell food. So say like Dreyer's Ice Cream wants to sell ice cream. We go out and do an inspection of their production facility. We also do like zoonotic disease control, rabies control, tick-borne disease control, all sorts of things that relate to animals and human health. So it's a pretty exciting job, lots of different topics and things that we cover. So I love my job because every day is so different and you never quite know what you're going to do. So it's a really interesting job.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I've never heard of, you know, vets working for the Army. So this is a new for me as well. How long have you been doing this for?
11 years now.
11 years. And do you get deployed overseas or do you just work on U.S. military bases?
We do get deployed. There are several deployable veterinary units that do go overseas, and they're doing the same mission that we do in the States. They're doing food inspection wherever the soldiers are and taking care of the working dogs when they get injured during deployment.
Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about yourself, and let's start with, what do you do in your spare time? What is that you like to do when you're not working?
When I am not working, I do quilting. I'm kind of addicted to quilting. I got into it about 5 or 6 years ago. I've always been a sewer. My mom taught me how to sew when I was younger, but I really got into quilting. And so that's my main hobby. I also like gardening and yoga. So quilting, gardening, and yoga are kind of my three big hobbies that I do.
Why do you like to do them?
I love quilting because it's so much more creative than what I do on my normal day-to-day. So my job's really scientific, very analytical, and I need that outlet. And so it's kind of an art form that is useful. So at the end, you have these beautiful blankets that you can give away to people. I do a lot of charity work where we make quilts and donate them to, you know, women's shelters. Right now we're doing a bunch of quilts for foster care systems. So foster care kids, you know, just give them a little bit of comfort. And that's why I love quilting. It's something that I need to have some sort of creative outlet. And so that's my creative outlet. Gardening, like I said, my mom has, you know, taught me how to garden and pretty much grew up with gardening. Sometimes I didn't like doing it when I was a kid because it involved weeding, but I just love having beautiful things and just getting physically into the dirt. I know that makes it's kind of weird, but I just love doing things with my hands. Yeah. And then yoga just helps me to calm my mind because I am very type A. I can't sit still. And sometimes my husband comments that I can't just sit and relax. I always have to be doing something. And I try to kind of temper that a little bit with yoga and teach myself how to calm my brain down and be able to sit and be quiet for a while. So that's why I do yoga.
Yeah, no, the yoga definitely helps a lot with that.
Yes.
What do you mean when you say you're type A? Because I've heard this expression before, but I don't think I have it so clear.
Type A is very driven, very perfectionist, we worry a lot that we're not going to be approved by everybody, and we have to make sure that we're doing 110% all the time. So yeah, I used to be much more type A when I was younger, and I think that was because I had to be so focused and driven when getting my veterinary degree. I feel like as I've gotten older, I kind of have relaxed a lot more than I used to, and I'm not stressing about every little thing in my life. But it took a long time for me to get to that point where I didn't have to make everything perfect.
Mm-hmm. Just a question, because I'm not a perfectionist. I'm not, I wouldn't necessarily identify myself with what you just described, but how do you feel that being a type A, and now that you mentioned you were a lot more when you were younger, how do you feel that has impacted your life and the way that you see yourself?
I think it was really good, because when I had to be very focused, it was that my personality made it so that I could get through really, really tough times when it came to school. And so that was really good during that time. But I think that also is detrimental, because you're just stressing so much. It's almost like I get paralyzed with how stressed I am over doing something and getting it perfect, that sometimes I won't even start.
Okay.
So, you know, if I'm worried about failing because I can't make it perfect, I won't even do it. And so it's weird. I know, but I think,
I don't think it's weird. I'm just, I'm listening. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I think it does. It has held me back a little bit in trying new things, because I don't want to fail.
Okay.
Because I've self-imposed these unrealistic expectations on myself.
I understand completely.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I have needed that perfectionism and drive to, you know, get my career going. So good and bad. And I'm trying, like I said, with the yoga, and just trying to change my mindset where, you know, sometimes something's okay when you're just doing 80% good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's not, the world's not going to fall apart if, you know, my flowers aren't perfectly in rows.
That'd be a hard one. Perfectionist in gardening, kind of impossible, I would say.
Yeah.
So yoga, gardening, and quilting is what helps you kind of like settle your mind a little bit.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think creative outlets are definitely necessary. You know, doesn't matter what you do on a day-to-day basis, unless you're like the really creative type that is just like an artist, a painter or whatever, because we have to like comply with those little, you know, check boxes and what we do, most of us do. And so having that creative outlet, just we can express yourself without anyone telling you that you're doing it wrong, you're doing it right. It's very valuable. It's really important.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, you are child-free by choice, right?
Yes.
Okay. When did you make this decision and why?
So my earliest memory of wanting to be child-free, I was 7 years old, and I don't even know the situation that led up to it, but I remember telling my mom that I never want kids. I'm never going to have kids. And my mom saying, of course, you'll change your mind. You know, you're young, you're a kid, you'll change your mind. And I was just like, no, I am not having kids. And it never changed. So I think that it was probably because my household was very chaotic when I was growing up. I had two younger brothers, and pretty much both my parents worked. So I was babysitting them from the time we got home from school until my parents got home, you know, from 2 o'clock till basically 6 o'clock, I was watching them. And I saw how much work my mom had to do. And my dad was basically kind of out of the picture. He was, he's a bipolar alcoholic. And so I just didn't want that chaos and responsibility of kids. I saw how much my mom had to sacrifice. I mean, she was a legal secretary for like 25 years. And I mean, she hated her job, but she needed to do it to support the family and to make sure that we were all taken care of. But, you know, she didn't get to do a lot of the things that I think she wanted to do, you know, her hobbies and traveling and whatever else. So I didn't want that life. I wanted to be able to have, financially too. You know, we were constantly struggling financially. It's like, I wanted to be financially stable and I wanted to have the freedom to pursue my career and my hobbies and travel and not be really tied down. And I think I just don't like kids either. you know, and I hear this, people say that, well, you're, you know, if you don't have kids, you're selfish. And I think that it's okay to be selfish with certain things. And I am completely selfish because I want my quiet. I want, you know, my nice house. I like my things. I don't want, you know, my things to get destroyed by children. I want my freedom. I'm selfish about my time and traveling. And I think that's okay. I don't think it's wrong to be selfish about things and to admit that maybe kids don't fit into this picture. Like, why would I have kids if I'm a selfish person about these things that aren't conducive to having kids? I think it's just wrong to say, oh, you're selfish because you don't have children.
Yeah, because one could actually argue that people who have children are selfish.
Exactly. So because they're having kids for themselves, they want the kids, you know. So, I mean, if your personality and temperament is not good for raising kids, why would you want that person to have kids? Yeah. It's like, I know I don't have the patience for kids. And so I don't think I would be a good mom because I don't have that patience and because I would probably resent them for taking away some of the things that I value.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I think you just tapped into something that is very important in the whole dialogue of, you know, being child-free and then the parents that or people who decide to become parents. And it's the whole, you know, the use of the word selfish. Like for me, that doesn't have, like I said, you can also argue that they are selfish because they want to have a child on their, like on their image. So they preserve their genes or preserve their last name, which for me is just mind blowing. And at the same time, it's like, it's just a name, you know? And at the same time, they want to, they want children, but they're not really concerned about what the impact of having more kids is going to have on the world in terms of like environment or, I mean, there's just so many factors that come into the conversation. And we could argue, you know, as being child-free, that people that have children are actually the selfish ones. So it's just it's just this finger pointing that I've seen, you know, for a long time, of course. And I feel that, in my case specifically, when somebody tells me I'm selfish, I always tell them I wouldn't call myself selfish, even though I could be selfish with some of my stuff, but I would say more, it's just that I'm the most important person in my life. Mm-hmm. And because what I want and what makes me happy doesn't really, you know, allow for me to reproduce because a kid doesn't have any like role to play into what makes me happy, then sorry, that's just not going to happen, you know? And it's just self-preservation, I would say, in a way, you know? But yeah, I mean, I think it's a very interesting conversation and I just hear that word just thrown out all the time. And I think, it's just, like I said, you could argue either side.
You're listening to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community.
Having decided to become or to be child-free from, you were what, 7 years old, you mentioned, right? So you were very young, actually. How was dating life for you after...
So I think Okay, so this is a not normal relationship pattern, I think. I pretty much dated like three guys in my life, and then I met my husband in high school. And so we've been dating since I was 15, and against all odds, we have stayed together. It's been 24 years now.
Wow.
So I honestly don't know how this has worked out so well in the end, because, you know, you're dating in high school, you don't think you're going to stay with that person. But we just managed to make it work over the years with everything, you know, going to school and getting in the military. And I mean, we've moved around so many times, and it's, the dating part is kind of non-existent because we met so young. I will say that we did talk about, you know, whether we wanted to have kids kind of early, and he's adopted. So his point of view is if we ever did want kids, he would want to adopt.
Okay.
So that was where he was coming from. It's like, if we ever do have kids, I want to adopt because I was adopted and there's so many kids out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who need moms.
Absolutely.
And so he felt that that was something that he wanted to do. But we decided pretty much at the same time that it's like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen. We're not going to have kids or adopt kids or anything. I will say that in our relationship, it's been difficult having that reverse roles in our relationship because my career is the primary source of income. And he's basically been my support through, you know, undergrad, vet school, my master's program. And he's kind of been following me along and putting his career aside so that I can have mine. And that's been, there were some difficult times for him trying to figure out what his place was. And luckily, he is a very self-motivated, self-starter. He wants to be, you know, useful and productive and contribute to the relationship. Mm-hmm. And kind of for a while there, he wasn't feeling like he was doing enough or doing that. And so it was a little bit of a struggle to figure out like what is going to make him happy, what is going to make me happy, how are we going to make this work? Because moving around every couple of years really doesn't, it's really, really hard on the spouse who's following the military member. You know, he can't go and establish himself in a job and then we move 2 years later. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty tough that way, just because our roles are so reversed. He has figured out a home business. So now he works at home and he can kind of do that job wherever we go. And that's been really good just for his own happiness.
Yeah.
You know, he wants productive. So dating, it hadn't been a problem, but you know, just our relationship and how we've had to redefine it a little bit under our terms and not what everybody else's terms are.
Mm-hmm.
So once we ironed that out, you know, it works pretty good.
Well, yeah. And I'm actually very like surprised because, I mean, in a good way, because like you just said something that struck me as interesting and important to mention. And it's, you said something like, you know, the roles were reversed, but you're talking in terms of what society expects from women, right? So they expect the man to bring the bread and the woman to take care of the household. Or, I mean, if you have a career, then it's fine, but mainly the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I've never thought about roles like that, because in my house, it wasn't like that. Like, both my parents worked, both of them contributed, you know, financially and also to keep the house together for me and my sister. So it is redefining your relationship in terms of what society expects from you. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's really cool that you found a way to make it work and that you have such a supportive husband as well, because I can tell from what you're, you know, telling me right now that he's just been on every step of the way for you. So yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I've been really fortunate because, you know, I've seen lots of relationships break apart in the military because the wife is the one who is the primary, you know, when it comes to the job and making money. And a lot of guys can't handle that.
Mm.
They can't handle not having the career and not being the provider.
Yeah.
It is weird. I'm always just like, really? That's still a thing? And especially in the military, everybody assumes that my husband's the one in the army and not me. And we always have to correct them and say, no, she's in the army. He's the military spouse. So it's still automatic. People just automatically assume that you know, it's going to be the man who is making the money and going out and having the career. Yeah. It's like, no, not anymore. We can do it the other way. Especially, and I think especially if you don't have kids, because then people are like, well, what does your husband do all day?
Yeah.
You know, what can he possibly do if he's at home working? Like, you don't have kids and he stays at home all day? What the heck does he do? So we get that sometimes too.
Yeah, and I can't imagine. I can't imagine. Definitely. And I think, I mean, for men, I think there's two things there. First of all, there's a lot of pressure in terms of like society pressure that they need to be the ones to bring, you know, the money in the house or whatnot. It's just stupid rule that I don't know who made that up, but we're in, you know, it's the 21st century, guys, like, you know, keep up. That's one thing. And the other thing is what I've heard people say, because I haven't actually gone through the experience, but it's just the fact that for men, having like being the main caretakers in terms of like financially speaking, that also gives them control. And when they, their woman or their spouse is the one that is actually bringing in the financial bulk, let's say, or the, you know, the main financial contribution is coming from the woman, then they kind of feel they lose control over something. But that is also one, you know, stupid social rule that, or social conception that somebody came up with, and nobody knows, you know, why.
Yeah. And I think that, our relationship works so well is because one of the things is that everything has always been we instead of yours and mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with regard to finances and all the decisions that I'm not making these decisions without his input on board. You know, it's always, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Not what am I doing or what is he doing? And so we're always really communicating, and we check in every once in a while. It's like, okay, is this the life we want to lead now? Do we want to change something? You know, is this military thing still good? Is it working for us? You know, and if one of us is really unhappy, how do we fix it? And so that just mindset of this is us as a couple working together has really strengthened our relationship and gotten us through some tough times, some tough decisions. So,
I think the key word there is communication.
Yes.
Which I think it's lacking in many relationships. And I, you know, if you have that right, then you can go through anything. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your friend. So what type of people do you surround yourself with? Your people that you hang out with?
We kind of hang out with people who are a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, in our late 30s, early 40s. And it's really hard to find child-free people.
Yeah.
And so we've found some kind of younger people to hang out with because, and I don't know, I've heard the statistic, younger people are not having kids as much, but I don't know where that came from. But it seems like once you get into our age group, it's just everybody has kids. So, and a lot of, actually pretty much all of our friends from college and veterinary school, they all had kids. And man, when people have kids, they're gone. Never see them again. It just feels like, you know, all of a sudden they, you know, they never have any time and all they want to do is talk about the kid. And it's just, and we just don't have anything in common with them anymore. So it's been really difficult because, you know, slowly our long-term friends have just kind of dropped off because they're so focused on their kids, which, you know, I get it, but you know, you can send an email back. How long does that take?
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. So we try to find, you know, and it's harder in the military because we move around so much. So obviously Facebook is fantastic because we can keep in touch with everybody we've met along our travels. But we really do try to find people who don't have kids because then there's more of a chance that they'll have more time and be able to, you know, socialize really. Mm. So, yeah, but we have some friends that we've met through my husband's business and kind of all over the place. We've got some friends that work in like theater. They do a lot of theater and dance. I like having people who are outside of what I do. It's like, I don't want to surround myself with veterinarians or army people. I want other people who are interesting that I can talk to about different things and, you know, learn about what they do. So we have kind of a variety of people that we are friends with, makes it more interesting.
Yeah, that's true. And do you think that your friends have something in common in terms of their personality traits, something that you're looking for in your friends?
Really just open people. We are not religious at all. We're atheists. Mm-hmm. That tends to be a problem with certain people. So we try to find, you know, more, I don't even know what the word is. I guess liberally minded, but we're not liberal. It's like, we're kind of in between. We're not too liberal and not too conservative, but we just want people to, you know, not judge anybody because of religious beliefs or race or sex or anything like that. We're pretty open to just about everybody. And it's like, hey, if that's work, whatever you're doing is working for you, cool. You know, it's not bothering me. I don't care if I don't do it. That's, you know, whatever. So I like people who are fun and happy and just want to hang out and just be themselves, you know, be comfortable. And I've got very few friends that I can be completely open and honest with, but those are the best friends to have.
Yeah. Absolutely. And speaking about being themselves, how do you feel about yourself?
I feel pretty good about myself now. Yeah. It's taken a long time. There's a lot of points where I had some really strong self-doubt about my abilities and, you know, am I good enough? We talk a lot about imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. And even now I go, man, they're going to figure out that I don't know what the heck I'm doing. so I kind of have to give myself pep talks. And it's like, no, you know what you're doing. You've been doing this for 11 years. You're okay. So I still definitely have those doubts. And it's almost, you know, fake it till you make it sometimes. But right now, I think I'm in a really good place. I'd like to say it's because I'm getting older and I just don't care what other people think anymore. And, you know, I'm going to try and be the best person I am. And if you don't like it, oh, well, you know,
if you don't like it, that's your problem, not mine.
Exactly. And I try to cut really toxic people out of my life. I realize that I don't have time or patience for that. I haven't talked to my dad. I cut him out about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was just like, you know what? You're not a good person. And he was making me not a good person. I didn't like who I became when I was around him. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I don't need to deal with those type of people. So I think I'm much more selective with who I am spending time on. And that makes me a better person, makes me feel better when I'm not being influenced.
Yeah. That's how,
you know, by toxic people.
That is key. That is key. So if self-esteem were a scale, let's put a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being absolutely no love and 10 being healthy self-love, healthy self-love, where would you put yourself in that scale now, today?
Probably around an 8.
That's
9 on a good day.
Yeah.
But I think on average about an 8. I think I'm comfortable with who I am and my personality, and you know, I've realized that I'm pretty introverted a lot of the times, and like, I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I don't need to go out and try to be, you know, outgoing and bubbly and social all the time. And I thought that was what I had to be, especially as a military officer, that kind of outgoing, charismatic leader, kind of that stereotype. I thought I had to be that. And I realized by talking with a lot of other officers and mentors that, no, I don't have to be that. I can make my own leadership style. I can be my own leader. And it's totally valid, just like that extroverted, outgoing person. So that really, you know, made me a little bit more comfortable in myself.
Yeah. Do you feel that being in the military has helped as well with your self-esteem?
I think so. The military is all about empowering everybody to be a leader. I know, obviously, there's still issues when it comes to being a woman in the military, but I think it's come a long way. And I feel that I'm much more on an even playing field in the military. I personally had any issues with, you know, sexism. I know it's definitely there. I also think that I'm kind of in a little bubble because in the veterinary field, in the medical field, in the military, there's lots more women. And so we're not like in an infantry unit where there's like, you know, one woman and, you know, a million guys. So I think I'm a little bit insulated from some of that, but I do feel that the military has given me a lot of good skills and, you know, coping skills to deal with problems and a lot of, you know, they give us a lot of responsibility. And that really helps when you take on that responsibility and succeed. So I think it has been really good for my self-esteem personally.
Cool. Oh, well, that's very interesting. Okay, Taylor. Well, unfortunately, we are running out of time. Is there anything that you would like to add before I let you go?
I think that I really love that you're doing all these stories of child-free women. It's hard to find us. We're all over on the internet, but I think that it's really good, especially for younger women to hear these stories and realize that you don't have to listen to your family and your friends and all the social pressure. I mean, from the time we're able to lift our heads up as infants, they shove a baby doll at us.
Yeah, they do.
And say, you need to be a mother. You need to be a mother. You're nothing if you're not a mother. And that's just not true. And, you know, for all those young women out there, don't doubt yourself and don't let people pressure you into doing something that you really don't want to do. I think so many women get pressured into having kids and then they're miserable. I think that a lot of women regret having kids because they were just like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to do it. It's like, no, you don't have to. You can be whoever you want to be and make your life how you want it. And don't let people push you into doing other things. So that's what I would say to everybody out, all those young child-free women out there, stick with it.
For sure. That is a very wise and sound advice that you heard here, folks, from Taylor. Well, thanks again for your time. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community. We hope you tune in next week for our newest episode. And since we love hanging out with you, please be sure to follow us on social media at The Honest Uproar and visit our website at thehonestuproar.com. If you like what you heard, feel free to share with your fierce child-free firecracker friends. Until next time, continue fueling your inner fire.